Good afternoon, everybody. Ulysses Butch Slaughter here with Yummy Liberation. It is Yummy Liberation Tuesday. It is, Tuesday, the 3rd of October. I'm expecting my girl Kelly V to be joining me here for Sex and the Struggle. Yummy Liberation. She is on her way. She just sent me a message saying she is scurrying as fast as she can. You take your time, sister. I'm here. Want to welcome you back. I've missed being with my sister Kelly V. A lot has gone on since we were last on with Kelly V a couple weeks ago for Yummy Liberation. Sex and the Struggle went down back on September the 16th, and it was an incredible event. And I'm looking forward to doing the next one. We're going to be doing another Sex and the Struggle November the 19th, 2017, in the city of Chester. And I'm going to have an opportunity to honor a person who has meant a lot to me over the years, although I haven't been in contact with him for a very long time. Through voice, through spirit, I have been in contact with him daily. His name is Tyrone Smith. I'm going to give Tyrone Smith the very first Sex in the Struggle Social Impact Award during the event that we're calling Sex in the Struggle. God is Sex. People are tripping over that. Some people are really tripping over this thing that God is sex. And part of me don't give a flying fuck. Part of me really wants to understand what it is that people don't get. And I have my moments where I just don't give a fuck, that people don't understand that God is sex. And I'm not quite sure where there could be any confusion there, but I know there can be confusion. I respect that people don't understand it. And all of us have our moments where we just don't give a fuck. And this is one of the areas where I can say I don't give a fuck and not feel bad about not giving a fuck. Because God is, in fact, the very birth of the universe is a sexual act. There is an input, output. There is sex in the universe. God is everywhere. And I think this is one of the challenges that I have when I see the type of sad incidents and events go down like they went down in Las Vegas recently. Just sad to look at the way that disconnection, alienation, isolation. It's just sad to see how it turns up in the carnage, the shooting of so many people, and for what, to what end. I'm sure Kelly's going to want to talk a little bit about this when she hops on with me. So I'm looking forward to her jumping on. And if you want to call in and talk with me and Kelly V, you're going to want to call 657-383-0185. Again, 657-383-0185. This is Sex and the Struggle, Yummy Liberation. My name is Ulysses Butch Slaughter. I am the creator of the concept Sex in the Struggle. I will add, I am the proud creator of Sex in the Struggle, because the struggle is consistent, and the sex needs to be as consistent as the struggle. The love, the connection, the intimacy needs to be as consistent as the struggle. And at some point, the sex needs to outpace the struggle. If we could tip the scales and do more fucking than fighting, we would be living in an entirely different world. More fucking, less fighting, more connection, less alienation. We would be in an entirely different place as human beings. So when I say God is sex, God damn it, I mean it. God is sex. And for those of you that struggle with that, think about it. Just think about it. Think about how you come into the world. Think about the way that the power of recreation, the power of recreation is the source. It's the source. And what is recreation other than sex? What is recreation other than sex. Recreation. Sex. God. God is recreation. God is pleasure. God is relentless power. And again, I know my girl is going to hop on here soon. And we're going to have some things to talk about when it comes to this matter of God is sex. We're going to have a lot to talk about. It is just unfortunate, I think, that we see incidents the way that we see them happen around the world. And again, when I say God is sex, that people trip over what I'm talking about. Kelly V, is that you, sister?
I'm not tripping at all.
I know you're not tripping. You're a little distant from your mic, but I know this is not the type of thing that you would trip over, and Kelly. It's so good to hear your voice.
Yours too. Can you hear me better now?
There, no? That's much better. Yeah, much better. Yeah,
okay.
Much better.
Cool. I'm literally hopping on in the car. I'm not driving. I'm being chauffeured. So
as you
good.
Should be. As you should be. I mean, when driving you? Somebody better be chauffeuring you around.
That's right. They better be.
Please. I'm a little surprised that you even pretended like you drive, Queen.
I know.
And they're serving you tea and crimpins, I hope. Well, maybe not crimpins. I don't know if you get down like that, but, you know, I know you might like some green tea every now and then.
Yeah. No, I love crimpins, actually. I fucking love them. They're delicious.
I was talking
in a while.
It's been a while.
Yeah. So yeah, what were you talking about? I heard you say God is sex and people are tripping over that shit.
Yeah. Well, what I was talking about actually was I was talking about the last time you and I were together a couple of weeks ago, and you know, I had just completed Sex and the Struggle, Let's Get It On, and an absolutely fantastic event. Absolutely fantastic. You know, thanking people like my boy Eric Grimes and Chi-Chi Couture and Tony Rulo, Betsy Crane, Jules Purnell, Reverend Beverly Dale. Thanking them for being there and supporting that first event that was just a powerful thing. And I'm getting ready for Sex and the Struggle with the subtitle, God is Sex. That is the subtitle to this one. And we're going to do it on a Sunday. Instead of it being on a Saturday or a Friday, God is sex on a Sunday afternoon. And so I was talking about, you know, the unfortunate event that occurred in Las Vegas. Everybody's talking about this. I actually didn't have a clue as to what happened until the day after. I'm not a news dude, Kelly. You know, I don't.
Either.
Yeah, I don't care how big, how bad. I don't pay a lot of attention to the news. And this is coming from a guy who I'm a journalist by trade. There was a time in my life where knowing what was going on in the world was extremely important to me. I prided myself in knowing everything that ever happened on every corner of the globe. And I just don't do it anymore. But I'm looking at this situation and I'm thinking, why do people trip when I say God is sex, when it is a proclamation of pure pleasure and power? Why do they trip that way? And then when something so horrible happens in Las Vegas, they can't quite see that a proclamation that God is sex could help to prevent shit like that. If there was more fucking and less fighting, this would be a different world. So,
I totally agree.
Yeah, it was a difficult thing to watch, you know, people running for their lives and people ducking and dodging. And then the after effect as well. When I talk about sex in the struggle, incidents like that epitomize the human struggle. And so when I'm talking about sex in the struggle, and when you're talking about yummy liberation, we are offering up prescriptions for the bullshit that we see every day.
Yeah. But I think, too, that you and I understand each other, and you and I understand what an interdependent relationship with Source and just being a vessel and living with God and sex and that energy, that orgasmic energy. I mean, and so we get that, but, and so we have taken sex a step further than the act itself.
Yeah. Yes.
In this in our conversation.
Right.
At least that's
right.
Where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's an excellent point. I think that people think of sex as the act itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I always talk about Khalil Gibran and his statement that everything is sex, that sex shows up in every aspect.
Every
aspect of being, sex shows up there. And where there is sex, there is the possibility of liberation, which is what I like about your concept, yummy liberation.
Yummy liberation.
Yummy liberation. Jill Scott has this song that she calls Sweet Justice. And it reminds me of, yeah, you'd like that one. It was on, I think her second, it was a live CD that she did. I forgot what it's called. I'll get you the name of it, but I think
okay.
It was like her second CD. But Sweet Justice is what it's called. And it reminds me of Yummy Liberation. And what we're talking about here is getting free through our desire
right.
and getting free being liberated through our desire. And you talk a lot with women. I'm curious. Let me ask us a question. Have you had many conversations around, you know, this thing that happened in Las Vegas? Have people come to you and had much to say? No.
No. No. And part of that is I'm not on the news.
Mm-hmm.
And another part of it is I don't engage around that shit in social media because that's a choice I made a while back.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the news is nothing more than yellow journalism, and that's it. So I don't have a lot of respect for it, just to be quite honest. And I find much more satisfaction being present in my own fucking life. And so I haven't had these conversations. And part of it is I haven't been working with my clients like one-on-one. A lot of my work is over the phone, and we're getting right to business and coaching. And so I'm not just around a whole lot of people the last few days, except for my husband. And neither one of us are news people. So, no, to answer your question.
You know, I love it, and I'm with you there. And I hear the chorus of people who are surprised that people like you and I, and whatever they think, whoever they think we are, but, you know, people, I'm sure most people review us as, you know, but most people probably review us as intelligent, responsible citizens, right? And so what that means for them,
hopefully.
What that means for them is that we know what's going on, and that we take a similar, we take what I'll call a common approach to these things, that we will sit and stare. It reminds me of the hypnotism around 9/11. That we will sit and stare and watch this over and over and over again and be appropriately depressed by these things and let these things take up so much time in our life. That way we can show that we care. And that's not where I am, Kelly. It's just not where I am.
Well, that's not authentic.
What do you mean when you say that?
No, not. I wasn't saying that about you. I said.
Oh, no, no, but I'm just curious as to what you mean.
Yeah. So I should have said it differently. So for me sitting around, or for you sitting around, feeling like you need to spend time out of your life, focused outside of yourself, and, you know, spend time being depressed, right? That would be inauthentic for you or I to do that.
I totally agree with you. Yep, totally agree.
So for a lot of people, it's very authentic for them to do that, because that is their story that they are in.
I agree.
Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And I don't think people take into account, when you talked about yellow journalism and you were talking about not having respect for news. Again, I spent a lot of time in the news. I've written for a lot of people. I prided myself on my daily dose of CNN, and because back then when I was in the Navy, like in the early to mid 90s, I'd be sitting in an office looking at CNN all day long. And when you say it's not authentic, I absolutely get that. Some people don't take into account that the proliferation of these messages, and I'm going back again to the 90s, where for the most part, it was all television. It was just television. You didn't have like tablets and, you know, the internet hadn't really like emerged the way that it is now. People weren't walking around with cell phones and iPads and all these that stuff didn't exist. And so now, the proliferation of this stuff, the way that this stuff just attacks us, you would think that this is normal. People think that this is normal. So if it's normal, people assume that it's authentic to be engaged in this stuff versus Yummy Liberation. And I say that Yummy Liberation is more authentic. And I mean, not just as a show, a podcast concept. I mean, as a personal proclamation, I see Yummy Liberation as far more authentic than watching the news and embracing a story that is not authentically yours. It doesn't make sense to me.
I had you on mute for a second. I said, amen,
okay.
We're going to church now.
Yeah, we are. Take us to church, Pastor Kelly. Bring it on.
Okay. And now I'm finally getting home. I can, like, get resituated here and then go to church. Okay, yeah. I feel like Yummy Liberation is much more authentic. And, yeah, totally.
I said at the beginning of Sex and the Struggle, let's get it on. And I'm slowly making copies of this DVD, and I want to make sure you get a copy in your hand, because I'd love to get your assessment of what you see in this video. But at the beginning of the event, me and the other guest that I mentioned, we walked into the room with the audience, and we were listening to Marvin Gaye's song, What's Going On? So if you recall that song at the beginning, there is a track where you hear what sounds like people socializing. Before Marvin Gaye starts to sing on the song, you hear what sounds like people greeting one another and socializing and that kind of thing. So we played that song at the beginning, and that's exactly what I did with my co-host. We walked in and we greeted people saying, thank you for coming and glad to be here. So we played the first part of the song, What's Going On? And then there was a break in the song where we mixed Let's Get It On into What's Going On. So we went from the social advocacy song to the sexual intimacy song. And when we went to the sexual intimacy song, we went from just greeting people saying, welcome to Sex and the Struggle, to actually dancing So we start, you know, standing people up in the audience, and we started dancing with them, dancing with one another, because we went from what's going on to let's get it on. It's time to get it on now. And so when you talk about yummy liberation, I'm saying to people, it's time to get it on. It's now let's get it on time. It's not, we can't do struggle constantly. We just can't do it. We'll wear ourselves out.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's why we see the shit that we see, you know, all the time, right? Outside of ourselves. So it's why we do the work we do. And so when you're saying, like, let's get it on, like, are you, like, I know you are. So with Sex and the Struggle and the last get together you had, where you had mm-hmm. that panel of amazing people,
right.
And you know, you were really just getting a feel for how everyone was feeling around the topic of sexuality,
right?
And so, what I wonder is, did it ever come up around what you meant? Like, as the curator of this event, by let's get it on.
Absolutely. I would really love to believe that we nailed it, that I nailed it, and other people did as well. I really wanted to make the point that Sex in the Struggle is exactly what it says. We need to have sex in the struggle of life. If there is, you know, we talk about the human condition, and we talk about the human condition as if it is the only condition. Like, we've got this context for the human condition as if it is a natural condition versus something that we've created. We've created the human condition. We really have. We've been conditioned to perpetuate what we call the human condition. And so what I wanted people to understand is that we can break the conditioning through more sex, through more intentional intimacy, through more pleasure. We can break this vicious cycle of alienation. If we were to commit ourselves to sex in the struggle. Kelly, you know, when we were last on, you and I talked about, we get ready to get it in, right?
Yes. You better let me start talking or I'm going to forget.
Dog, you go right ahead. I don't want you to forget. Give it to me.
Okay. So if I could just get married people who are married, who are supposed to be fucking daily, right? They're in, you know, monogamous relationships, even loving one, you know, some loving, some in transition, and fucking get on each other's nerves because they're stuck in their own stories. And in this, you know, blame cycle of fuckdom and communication. And so people just stop connecting. And so these, you know, if I could just get married people, let alone single people, right, to feel like sex is a safe thing, it's a natural thing, it's a healthy thing to do and to heal your body with. And I believe, and all the time when I'm talking with my friends who are like, I'm so stressed out, I'm so overwhelmed, I'm so this, I'm so that, I'm like, how much sex are you having? And they're like, I'm not. And I'm like, there you go. You're resisting that which is most fucking natural for your body to fucking heal itself. And sex in the act, sex in relating to one another, like Khalil Gibran said, sex is like everywhere. It's everything. And so, and people have lost. They have stopped remembering, right, because of just culture and the way, you know, everything is woven throughout it. It's like, you know, the most healing thing
which is intimate connection, right? It's the glue that holds, you know, married couples together, which is why there's so much divorce. And true intimacy, you know, I believe that you can fuck someone in conversation, you know, and I love doing that. That's my fucking favorite. When I can flow with someone and we're both just vessels. And or that can happen in a group dynamic too. And it's just my favorite. I think it's everyone's favorite. And so, yeah, but at the very basic, most basic level, which is, you know, fucking, right? If we're talking about sex and fucking, it's like, that is bad. That is disease. That is, there's so much negative from so many angles around it. And look, I talk to women every day and there's just this guilt, you know, and a lot of women, it's like, they feel like they have to choose relationship. And like, when I say relationship, I mean committed monogamous relationship, and they, and pouring my energy into this person to choose sex. Like, it's one or the other. So unless I'm in this committed monogamous thing, like you're my boyfriend, you know, I'm your girlfriend kind of situation, that's off for me because A, B, C, D, E, F, G. It's like stories. But, you know, there are common themes among women. So, yeah.
You hit on so many things, Kelly. Yeah, you hit on so many things.
I mean,
especially
there's so many ways to go with the conversation, yeah.
It really is. It really is. And when you talked about, you know, intimacy and fucking in conversation, there is an intentional behavior. And I know you know that this is why being in relationship with certain types of people is critical. We have to be in relationships with certain types of people in order to get access to these conversations and to this intimacy that we're talking about. We have to know what we want, and we have to be okay with learning some stuff that we aren't familiar with, but we have to want. I tell you what, I'm gonna do this by way of a question. What kind of relationship would you recommend that women and men are engaged in such that they can have the benefit of conversational fucking as well as downright physical fucking? What are the ingredients there? Because like you said, there's some people who feel like it's inappropriate to engage with people unless you're in a particular kind of relationship. And I maybe, but what kind of relationship, if you want access to the conversational fucking as well as the physical thing, what kind of relationship? And if you're not like in a committed, you know, marriage, boyfriend, girlfriend kind of thing, how do you get to that space where you can have that and not feel like you're breaking some rules of sex?
Yeah. Well, it takes first just having the courage, right? And kind of riding that edge of your comfort zone and just making that decision to totally try your hardest to just be present. So being so present, like in every fucking moment, right? Because that's all we have is moment to moment.
That's
and
right.
It's a cliche thing, right? We've all heard it. It's like, live in the moment. Yes, fucking live in the moment. When I'm distracted and I can't focus, like, all of myself, people can tell. Because when I'm not distracted and I'm completely honed in, it's a different type of conversation. And so it's bringing all of, like, who you are moment to moment. And then remembering that we as humans love it to stay in our stories of the past. Like, we love to stay there. Like, we are storytellers.
Right.
And our minds love to stay in stories that keep us in the same dynamics and the same stories, keep us small, keep us safe. Like, we're safe right here. We've figured out how we can be in the world to be safe. And so, yeah, getting some courage, dropping the stories, and just being as present as possible and allowing yourself to just flow in the conversation, sort of losing yourself in the conversation. And same thing with fucking, like, learning to lose yourself, learning to surrender, right? So same thing.
Present. I like that notion of losing yourself, Kelly. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
And I can see people being challenged by
losing
that.
My religion. Yeah. Seriously.
I agree.
Like,
I totally agree.
My fucking religion of of loving my fucking stories and listening to them instead of just living in the moment.
When you say losing yourself,
mm-hmm.
what I like about that, and where some people are challenged by that, when you say yes to losing yourself, I think there's an acknowledgement, a necessary humbling acknowledgement that says, I don't know it all. And
yes.
So to give up something is to get something. It's, you know, that resonance reciprocity thing where I'm going to open up a little bit to receive something. Some people act like they're full already of every possibility, and that reeks of a particular perfection. It's almost like saying, I'm perfect, I'm good already, you can't teach me anything. And what most people are full of most often is shit. They're just full of shit.
Yeah.
And so,
and they've
and
settled
I mean,
for shit.
That's right.
And
that's
been
right.
Eating shit.
That's
and they've
right.
been all the shit when there's mangoes and strawberries and fucking bananas like hanging all around.
And I know you mean that both metaphorically and literally,
yes.
that there are
yes.
those things that are hanging around. And people keep saying, you know, people say to me, I'm good. I'm good. Did I tell you the story, Kelly, coming out of Sex and the Struggle of the demonstration of the woman with the rope around her neck? Did we have this conversation?
You told me that no. Well, I think you might have touched on it, but I didn't hear like a whole story. No.
I only want to touch on, I don't want to go too deep into it, but it was
okay.
the issue that
okay.
some people watched what was a consensual relationship between two people who knew one another and were using a rope to intensify their pleasure. And this was an understanding in their relationship. They had played like this before. They had experienced this before. And now they were doing it in front of an audience. And the audience members, many of them had a reaction to this because their perception, their story, their religion around the rope was a religion of pain and suffering, but none of them had ever had a rope put around their neck for pleasure. So they were assuming that they knew what that was going to feel like. And so what they did was they shut off a possibility of growth and pleasure, sex and intimacy, simply by thinking about what it was going to be versus actually knowing what it could be, stepping into it and saying, hey, I'm going to try that and see what happens. And that's what happens a lot of times when I ask you the question of, well, what kind of relationship do you need to be in order to get that conversational fucking as well as that physical fucking? And you said
right.
you got to give up something. I totally
yeah.
agree. You got to give up something.
Yeah. So good. Yeah. You have to give up, I say, the stories.
And that
you,
is
you
what this is called.
Something. Yeah.
I missed that part. You said something and there was something.
I said, I call them stories. So
right.
you said, you know, they've got to give up something. I'm like, yeah. I say, you know, got to give up the stories.
Right.
And
yeah.
and deal with the facts. Like being present is learning how to step outside the stories, the old stories, and like live in the now, the present, like what are the facts? And, you know, the fact is, like, if you're removing the story of a fucking rope, right? And I'm totally stepping outside the story right now when I'm saying this. Because
right.
I realize that there is history, and I realize that there's a lot going on, okay, around ropes, you know, for Black people, for slaves, for control. I get all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm stepping outside that story. And so I'm saying, if I'm taking the story away from the rope and we're talking about sexual pleasure and we're talking about what a rope can do to heighten a sexual, you know, intimate experience and turn on and getting deeper into just a next level and, you know, fuckery, breaking through a glass ceiling that, you know, we have for ourselves. And learning all the different ways that you can play with it. You know, when you think about it in that way, it can be very exciting, right? When we move outside the stories of the past. And those are conversations that, you know, I've had with my husband. And, you know, he totally agrees. And and it's like that with so many different aspects around sexuality. It's not just rope. I mean,
right.
It's everywhere. You know, it's from the clothes we wear to the makeup to the fucking, like, the game of fucking. You know, ropes is just one fucking topic. You know, interracial fucking dating, marriage, right?
Preach.
There's so much. I mean, so many different topics. No one would be like at a shortage of shit to write about ever. There's so much woven throughout our culture.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of it goes right back to religion, right? A lot of it has roots there. And so I think it's so fucking awesome and interesting and fascinating that your next event is, what did you call it?
Sex and the Struggle, God is Sex.
God is sex, right? I think it's awesome because God is sex.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. And I mean, you know, living in the South, in the heart of the Bible Belt, yeah. I think I've even said that before, like on social media. And, you know, I'm not popular down here for saying it.
Just in case,
yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. I've been engrossed with this conversation, as I always am, and I forgot to tell anybody who's listening that if they wanted to call in, you're always welcome to call in. I'm sure, like me, you're mesmerized listening to Kelly, but if you want to call in, you should call 657-383 657-383-0185. Again, that's 657-383-0185. I've been in dereliction of my duty to let people know how to call in so that they can join this conversation instead of me just kind of, you know, having the energy, the Kelly V energy all to myself. Call in if you want to. If not, I'm going to enjoy this myself.
Ulysses, you have such a sexy radio host voice. It's so impressive.
Oh, really? Okay. I'm gonna ignore that just so I can get back to what
it.
I'm gonna pretend like I didn't hear that. So tell me this, because I'm still tripping on this thing. Everything you're saying to me is like the antidote. You've said so many things. You talked about the clothes. I don't think people think about this stuff, Kelly. I just don't think people think about this. They don't understand all of the components, all of the idiosyncrasies, the sex idiosyncrasies that they may have, all of the shit that they're doing to feed into a game that they actually don't even want to play. If they could avoid all the bullshit that goes into playing the sex game, you started naming some stuff. You know, we talk about the big thing like religion, but then you start talking about clothes and smell and all that. And we talking yummy liberation here. And I just want to make one other point here, because what I love what you said is that you talked about you and your husband, Ned. And, mm-hmm. you know, you have someone who you can relate to at this level. Because I asked the question earlier, what kind of relationship do you have to be in order to get the benefit of the conversational fucking as well as the physical fucking? There has to be it's a consensual thing. It's a shared desire. This is what my thinking is, but what do you tell people who want that stuff?
I'm telling you, gosh, it just takes meeting the right person and being, you know, meeting people who are on your same wavelength and frequency. Are you still there?
I am, yes.
Okay, hold on. I'm sorry, people are fucking... Okay, sorry. People calling. I'm on my phone. The relationship that I have with my husband is really fucking rare. And once I made it a priority in my life after my divorce that, you know, my journey is from here forth about my evolving and my expansion and my growth. And I'm only interested in talking to other people who have that same interest.
Mm.
And who also want to play, who also want to have fun, who have a sense of adventure, and who think that there's more to this fucking life than, like, struggle, paying bills, figuring shit out, like, living in the past, and, like, just living life, right? Like, truly being. And so that was important for me. And so that was, like, where I was at. I was like, this is my declaration. I only want to talk to or be around people who can carry on this conversation with me. And so he was able to not only carry on that conversation with me and very interested to carry on that conversation with me, but fuck the shit out of me too.
Mm.
And so he, like, is the total package. And that is very rare in a man, for me, in my experience. But once I made that declaration as a woman for myself, and I made that a non-negotiable for me, like, I need warmth from a person. I desire, like, that's what I want. So any woman that I meet, any man that I meet, I want warmth, I want, you know, passion, right? And then like, if you want to spend more time with me beyond warmth and passion and chemistry, right, like, you have to fuck my mind. And you have to be interested in what the fuck I'm talking about. And then you have to get me. So once I made that declaration, I began meeting more and more people because I was calling it in on a soul level. I was working my mind, and I was learning how to call in different shit, a different energy, by just embodying it. Does that make sense?
It makes a hell of a lot of sense. And as I'm listening to you talk, I'm thinking, every time you and I get on here, I want to be able to create this kind of thing that you're giving up right now for people to consider, for people to digest. Because as you were talking, I was like, hell yeah. You know, you called it in.
Yeah.
And the conversations that I've had with you before, I know that you, before you demanded or desired outside of yourself, that you had an internal demand and desire from yourself. When you said a non-negotiable, you ceased to negotiate with yourself first and foremost around these things. And this is what people need to get, that they need to cease negotiation with their self around mediocrity.
Yes.
You don't negotiate around mediocrity internally, and
right.
Then you don't negotiate externally around it either. And that's when the match begins to happen.
Exactly. Exactly. How you be inside, right, internally, is how you'll be in the physical. It's a reflection, right, of what's going on.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, we see that in the world, right? So everything in the news and the shit, for me, you know, getting back to the original topic, and we don't have to stay there, but if there were more fucking, there would be a lot less fighting.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I mean that in every sense, right? Metaphorically speaking, conversationally speaking,
mm-hmm.
physically speaking. And so,
I've praised you around this before, and I want to praise you again around this matter, the way that you model what you talk about. The people that I talk to, women in particular that I talk to, and women are interesting to me, Kelly, when they learn about my dedication to the conversations of sex, intimacy, and pleasure. You know, they assume that I'm a particular kind of guy. And some of their assumption is right. You know, some of it is true. And that don't mean that I'm interested in them. So this is where
sure.
I try to get people to understand that I can talk about this, and I can be vulnerable. I can be expressive. I can be a lot of things because I'm not afraid to say who I am. And just because I'm sharing this with someone does not mean I want them. It's not like I'm trying to share a secret and like work some kind of subliminal trick into getting them into bed with me. That's not what I'm doing. I'm simply being upfront about who I am. And I appreciate the way that you do the same thing. You are expressive, authentically expressive. You say who you are. You mean what you say. You model this thing. And so the way you talk to me and the way we talk to one another is an expression of our respect for one another and our trust with one another. And we're okay doing that with anybody. You know, I mean, if they're interested
mm-hmm.
in hearing it, we're okay with doing that with anybody.
Absolutely. It's my favorite fucking thing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Aside from fucking, I mean.
Right. talking about it is like a close second to actually doing it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. See,
sure.
That's where I am. That's where I am. And
so
I just
fun.
Think it is. And I feel fantastic when I'm done. I feel like, okay, I can go do something, whatever else I got to do now. But, you know, I got my, it's, you know, to me, it's like going to church. You talk about yummy liberation. This is like going to church. So, like, I was raised mostly in a Catholic church. So, they, you know, Catholic church services are usually, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, which was cool. Because having come out of, like, a Baptist beginning when I was much younger, you know, you'd be sitting in church all fucking day. I'm like, oh, my God, let me out of here.
I could not stand that shit. I'm like,
I can't either.
Now, put me in church where we're talking about sex. And it's so fucking funny that you say that. When was it? So I got approached from like a couple of chicks, right? This was like years back. It just made me remember.
Oh God.
And then there's
you
this
so
place
funny.
In and then there's this other place downtown in Atlanta called Church where they're just fucking paradigms left and right all over the place. It's hilarious. You have to look it up. But no, I had a couple of friends a few years back and they're like, Kelly, I want to do a podcast. Like, you know, and so these are two black women. They've come out of from under the church. They're not in the church anymore. But they still love God, still love Jesus, right? But they just left the politics of the church where they were at. And they're like, you know, I want to do a podcast. We want you to, like, do it with us, right?
Right.
And so, like, you know, they're asking my ideas, and my ideas are like mine are all around like the pussy. We like worship the pussy and the right, like the shrine, right? So like I'm partly being, you know, funny but serious too, and they're kind of like, yeah,
oh,
I know. I don't know about that idea. Well, I'm like, well, that's my fucking idea. You know, so, yeah, they didn't. I don't think they
oh
were
my
on
God.
The same level with that. But
I can't wait. I can't wait to share this one, Kelly. I can't wait for this one. As soon as this thing renders into an MP3, I'm gonna send it to everybody. I'm gonna make sure you get the link. I want everybody to get this one because, again, you and I could turn on the TV and we could get really depressed. I think we our offering to the world is joy. You know, if there's a part of the world where people are getting depressed and sadness, I think we want to show up with this type of conversation and not to dismiss any
Absolutely.
Pain, any suffering, because I get it. That shit is painful. But like we've been talking about. We need.
It's all valid. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And.
But is it valuable to the conversation? It's all valid, right?
Mm.
But it's not all as valuable to the conversation of moving forward. It's all valid. There's not one response to any one thing that you could ever convince me. Is it would be more valid than the other. They're all valid.
I agree.
But I'm all about what is the value of staying right here in this story, in this response, right? And I use that in everything. It's like,
I think that's
let
amazing.
Me come up with, three responses. Like, you know, like for instance, if you're in a relationship and I'm just, sort of illustrating this in the best way I can. So if you're in a relationship and you are talking with your partner and they just say something and it fucking pisses you off, right? And your first initial response is in your mind, right? I'm pissed. Like, I'm angry. You said that to me, that fucking pissed me off.
Right.
And then there's another response past that. And that response might be, I am feeling agitated, pissed, and what is there for me to look at? What's there for me? Why am I angry? and like owning it. And then there's a level past that, which is that was fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That thing is the perfect thing that I needed to hear to check in with myself and see where the fuck am I? And how powerful do I feel in my being that I can serve up my ears to listen, have some compassion. And so that's just one example, but there are always at least three responses I go through before I culminate, you know, and make some response or react in some kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does. So it actually does.
So one response, the first response, knee-jerk reaction is going to be valid. But if I sit with it for a minute or two or three, I can go, okay, so this response is valid also. But some conglomeration of all of those is probably more valuable to this conversation or to the evolution of this thing. But anyway, I went off on a little tangent there.
I was with you, sister, and I'm looking forward to us doing this again, and I can't wait for this thing to render so I can send it out. I think Stevie Wonder had this song years ago called Love's in Need of Love Today. And I think that and there was another one. You might remember this. I forgot who wrote it, but somebody wrote a song called What the World Needs Now is Love, kind of slow drag kind of song back from the 70s. And I think they're about the same thing as us talking about sex. You know, love is this idea of just this kind of feeling that people get isn't as clear, isn't as concrete as when we're talking about you need to fuck. You need to have somebody that you care about in your arms, and you need to be in somebody's arms, and you need to be fucking, and you need to be feeling the energy that you share between you and this other person, and you need rejuvenation. When you use the term remember early, I love the word remember because it is not just a thing of the mind. It is a thing of rejuvenation in the body, remembering, putting the members back together. Mm-hmm. We got to put our fucking members back together. And it's just, this is crucial stuff. We ain't fucking playing. I think people need to understand we're not playing when we say this. We mean when
we're
we
not
say.
Planned. This is mind fucking. This is mind-fucking.
Right.
This is new level shit that we're talking about here.
Yeah, yeah. And it is critical new level shit. So
yeah, next level. Sorry.
Yeah, next level stuff. Where else is there to go? I ask people at this point, what haven't we tried that we have at our disposal that's free? That is sustainable. Sex. That's what we got. It don't cost shit. And it's so valuable to your point of value. So
it costs
anyway. Sister Kelly, we got 38 seconds left. How do people reach you for more of this juicy, yummy liberation?
Yummy liberation. So KellyVandiver.com. www.kellyvandiver.com and The Kelly Vandiver on Facebook, Kelly Vandiver. You can friend me, you can find me, send me some love, ask me questions.
We will be back next week, and I'm going to drop this on the new Sex and the Struggle website as well. I'm working on that. I'm going to make sure that's
awesome.
There for people to find it there. With a beautiful picture of my sister, Kelly V. And we will be back next Tuesday, same time, same liberation station, Yummy Liberation with Kelly V.
Yum, yum.
Thank you, sister. I will talk with you next week.
Thank you. Okay, love. Bye, everyone.
All right. Bye.